Today's Shi'ur Masechta Shabbos Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, right at the beginning of the Gemara. We learned in yesterday's Shi'ur, we learned the Mishnah that one may not use on Yontif Shemen Sreifa, oil that's meant to be burnt. Truma oil that got tamei that's meant to be burnt cannot be used to light the candles on Yontif. Ask the Gemara my Tama, what's the reason? Answers the Gemara: Lefish ain't sarf and kachshim beYontif. The halacha is that one may not burn kachshim, which are disqualified, which there's a mitzvah to burn them, one may not burn them on Yontif. Even though it should fall in to the category of oichel nefesh, because I'm having hanor from the candles that are burning, still, as we're going to see, the halacha is that you're not allowed to burn kachshim on Yontif. Menani Mili, how do we indeed know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amachiskiya, the Chayin Tana, the Bechiskiya, Amakra, the Pasuk says regarding the Karma Pesach. The Torah says, V'loisasirim menat boiker, don't leave over from the Karma Pesach. We're not allowed to have noisa from the Karma Pesach. V'noisa menu, at boiker, and anything that's left over, be'esh tisroifu. Now when we learn the Pasuk comes to Gemara, she'ein tamad loimer, what does the Pasuk have to say, ad boiker? What is the Torah repeating to say, don't leave it over, again, the word at baika? Matam alayim at baika. The teachers, ba'a kasa litin lay, baika shen el sirif asai. What the Torah is teaching us is that we don't burn the kachim that become posel. We don't burn them on yontif. We have to wait for chol hamoed. From learning the pasuk simple, it seems that you have to wait till the first morning of Chol HaMoed to burn the kachim. Now, if the entire reason you're not allowed to burn the kachim or truma that's tamei on Yontif, so why do I have to wait till the first morning of Chol HaMoed? Why can't I burn it already on Matzah Yontif? So Taisus says that this must be a Gzeres HaKasef, that not only may you not burn it on Yontif, but you have to wait for Chol HaMoed in the morning to burn it. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says that you're allowed to burn it on Matzah Yontif. You're not obligated to burn it on Matzah Yontif, but you can burn it indeed Matzah Yontif. It's only on Yontif that you're not allowed to burn it. Abaye gives a different source for how we know the halacha, that you may not burn kachim on Yontif. Abaye Amar, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Oyla Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. The Torah says, Oyla Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. And the words b'Shabbatoi are superfluous. So what I learned from here, Oyla Shchoil b'Shabbos, Oyla that was brought during the week, cannot, or the parts of the carbon Oyla were brought on Erev Shabbos, cannot be burnt on Shabbos. Furthermore, the loy oilus choil beyontif, and the same thing applies on yontif. So, even though this pasuk is a pasuk by Shabbos, but it would have been enough for the Torah to say oilus Shabbos. Why did the Torah also have to add oilus Shabbos b'Shabbatoil oilus atamid to teach us that you can't bring carbon that got disqualified on Yontif? Rav has a third source, how we know we may not burn kachim that are posel on Yontif. Rav Ava Amakra, Behu Levadai Ya'as Lechem. The Torah only allows us to do Oichel Nefesh on Yontif. Who? I learned from here that only Oichel Nefesh may be done on Yontif. V'loi Machshirin. Machshirei Oichel Nefesh, that means something which is a preliminary to Oichel Nefesh. Manufacturing an oven, for example, is not Oichel Nefesh, it's Machshirei Oichel Nefesh. Levadoi, it may not be done on Yontif. Furthermore, Levadoi, V'loi Mila Shloi Bezmano. A Mila that today isn't the time may not be done on Yontif or Shabbos if it's not Yom HaShmini. And we learn this now through a Kal V'Chaimer. And this is the Kal V'Chaimer. The halacha is that the tzaras overrides the halacha of kabonis. What does that mean? A kohen can't cut away a tzaras nega that he may have on himself to qualify himself to be able to do the avoda. There also the halacha is that karbonis may be brought on Shabbos, karbonis tzibur. So therefore, we could come to the conclusion that mila also should supersede Shabbos, because the halacha is that if somebody has tzaras in the makom hamila, the halacha is you could do the bris mila. So if Shabbos is pushed away by karbonis, then it should certainly be pushed away by mila. Comes the Torah with the word levadoi to say that we shouldn't learn this kal v'chomer. So what do we see from here? That when something doesn't have to be done today, it may not be done on Yontif and certainly not on Shabbos. So when we have disqualified kachim, we don't have to burn it on Yontif. We could always wait for Chol HaMoed. Rav Ashi Amar, a fourth reason how we know that you can't burn kachim on Yontif. The pasuk says Shabboson is an assay. It's a mitzvah assay. Vavla Yontif assay v'lois assay. We have a rule that assay doicha lois assay. However, burning the truma that's pasul is an assay and a lois assay. There's a lois assay and an assay involved in doing this, and therefore it doesn't have the ability to be doichet. So we had here in the Gemara is that four reasons the Gemara gave how we know that you're not allowed to burn kachim on Yontif. There's a very interesting discussion that the Drisha, the son of the Drisha, writes in the Agdoma of Tor Yerodei Chel Beis. He quotes his mother. He says there were women that they had a minig. On Yontif, they didn't light candles until everybody came home from shul. So he says, obviously, in Chutz La'aretz, when we have 2 days Yontif, that's what you have to do, because you're not allowed to do melacha from the first day to the second day. So you're not allowed to light candles until you know it's ready for sure, the second day Yontif. But when it's the first day Yontif, he says there were people that had the minig that would only light their candles when the husbands and the family came home from shul. But he says it's incorrect. And just like on Shabbos, of course, we have to light the candles l'kavod Shabbos before the zman, and that the table should be set with the candles burning on them. You couldn't do it any other way anyway, because you can't light candles on Shabbos. So too is the way we should go into Yontif. That's what he quotes his mother. However, the Chasam Sofer says that our Mishnah is a raya, not like that. He says our Mishnah says that Eim adlikim shem tzreifa b'yontif. And our Gemara just explained why you're not allowed to use shem tzreifa on Yontif. Mishum she'ein tzarfen kachim b'yontif. Now, if we're going to say, says the Chasam Sofer, that the time we light Yontif candles are like by Shabbos, where we light them in the afternoon before Yontif begins, so then we have a question. Why does our Mishnah say that you can't use truma tamei or whatever for candles on Yontif? When are we lighting the candles? We're lighting the candles Erev Yontif in the afternoon. Erev Yontif in the afternoon is not yet Yontif. So then you're allowed to burn Shem and Sreifa. It must be, says the Chasam Sofer, that from here is a raya that you don't have to light. They didn't light the candles in the afternoon. They lit the candles only when they came home from shul in the evening, and then it's indeed Yontif. However, there are those that explain that since, especially by Yontif, the Mekabel Yontif with the lighting of the candles, so since you Mekabel Yontif with the lighting of the candles, so when you're lighting the candles, even though it's Erev Yontif, by the woman lighting the candles, it becomes Yontif. And therefore, the halacha would be that you can't light it, even though it's Friday, it's Erev Yontif in the afternoon still, but as far as you're concerned, it's already Yontif. What the Gemara gave a number of explanations why Ein Sarfen Kachim B'Yontif. What's the nafkamina? The Gemara doesn't give a nafkamina between these reasons. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be that let's say you lit the candles before Yontif. Will you be allowed to keep them burning on Yontif? If there's a din that kachim may not be burnt on Yontif, that then you would have to extinguish the fire. But if it's a reason of chil Yontif, once you already lit the candles, there's no more chil Yontif anymore, and the halacha would be that you would not need to extinguish the candles, even though you shouldn't have lit them from this material. Says the Gemara. The Yontif would also, we're saying that on Yontif, you can't use oil that's on Truma that's Tameh, Havachal, Shapadami. During the week, if you have oil that is Truma that became Tameh, you could use that oil for fuel, for candlelight. My Tama, ask the Gemara, what's the reason? Amarav, Shem Shemitzu Lekotchim Shenitmu, because says the Gemara, just like the mitzvah to burn Kotchim that became Tameh, Kach Mitzvah Litzraf is Truma Shenitmus. It's a mitzvah to burn it. Vamar Taira. And Rashi explains why do we have to burn it. Because Truma, he says two reasons. One is because Truma is always compared to Kachim. So just like by Kachim there's a mitzvah to burn it, so too there's a mitzvah to burn Truma. And number two, if you're not going to burn it, we're concerned that you may hold on to it. And if you're going to hold on to it, you may use it in a way that's awesome. Shem shmitzlitz rekotchim shenetnu kach mitzlitz reif esat truma shenetmas. Vamer Taira, and the Taira says, b'shas pu'uray, when you burn it, taheni min menu, you could have hanor from it as you're burning it. Ask the Gemara, heichen amr Taira, where did the Taira say this, that is indeed the halacha? Answers the Gemara, with Rav Nachman. The way we know that is from what Rav Nachman taught us. Dama Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bavua Makra, Vani Hine Nasat Lecham Esen Shmeres Trumasai. The Torah is a B'shtei Trumas HaKos Medaba. The Torah is talking about two types of Truma. Achas Truma Tahira, Vachas Truma Tameya. The Torah is talking both about Truma Tahira and Truma Tameya. Vam Rachmana. And the Torah says regarding this, Lecha, it's yours. It's yours and you could use it for any purpose that you want. Lecha. Shalcha Tehei, Lasika Tach Tavshilcha. You could use it to cook your supper with it. Vibay Seima, how do I know that you're allowed to use Truma that's Tamei? Says the Gemara, I learned it from what Rabbi Avua taught us. Dam Rabbi Avua, Om Rabbi Yochanan. The Pasuk says, the Alochi is that at the end of the fourth year and in the Shemitah year, you have to do Vidui Maaser. What does Vidui Maaser mean? You have to come to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to come and give away all the Trumas and Maaseris that you have. You have to give them all away and say a parasha of Vidui Maaser. Part of the nusach that you say is, V'loi vi'ati mimena b'tomei. I did not use the Maaser Sheni when it was Tomei. What do we learn from this? Mimenu i'atamavir. You're not allowed to use the Maaser Sheni when it became Tomei. Avlat mavir, shevin shatruma shenitmus. So Truma got Tomei, that you may have hanor from. Ask the Gemara, who tells you to learn this way? Veima, maybe the way to learn is, mimenu iatamavir, you're not allowed to use shemen, you're not allowed to use maaser sheni got tamei, avla atamavir, shemen shel kodesh nitma. If oil of kodesh got tamei, that you may have anor from. So the Gemara's question is, yes, from the posik of aloi bi'atam mimenu b'tamei, we could come to make a decision that you could use something else. But why are we saying that it's Truma that you're allowed to use? Maybe it's Kachim that you're allowed to use. Answers the Gemara, Lav Kavachimer. Because I'm going to make the following Kavachimer. Ma Masakal. Maisa Sheni is certainly less serious than Kachim or Truma. Why? Because Maisa Sheni could be eaten by any Jew. As long as it's eaten in Yerushalayim, anybody could eat Maisa Sheni. Still, Amr Taira says the Taira Lei Ba'atim Mena B'Tamei. I'm not allowed to benefit from it when it's Tamei. Kodesh, which is certainly Muhammad, only a Kayin may eat Kodesh, and only under certain circumstances, like Kolshkein, certainly the halacha ought to be that you can't eat from it, you can't have a Nor from it when it's Tamei. Says the Gemara, Yehachi, if that's the way you're going to learn, you can make the same kavachaymer. That truma is certainly more serious, more chomer than meiser. So if I can't have anor from Maisa, which is Tomei, I certainly can't have anor from Truma, which is Tomei. And it says the Gemara, Haksib Mimenu. But the Torah using the word Lei Bechalti Mimenu Betomei, Mimenu, I learned Mimenu only in this case. In other cases, I may have Hanor. And what am I using the Lima to teach me? That I'm allowed to use it for, I'm allowed to have Hanor from Truma Tomei. Ask the Gemara, Omari Isa. And this question, type of question we have often. The question here is, we have a limud, mimenu. We have the word mimenu. The word mimenu is coming to teach us that there is somewhere else where you are allowed to have hanor from something which is tamei. We just don't know, should we apply it to truma or we should apply it to kachim. The Gemara is suggesting that we apply it to truma. And that by truma tamei you're allowed to have hanor, not by kachim. Ask the Gemara, why do I prefer to say that it's from Truma Tomei that I'm allowed to have Anor, and rather than say it's Kachem Tomei, I'm allowed to have Anor? Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Kodesh Lematana. It makes sense not to exclude Kodesh. It makes sense to say that Kodesh, which is Tomei, you can't have Anor from it. Why? She can't simen panik achas. Kachem has all of these various chumras. What are they? Pigel. So Rashi explains that what pigel means is that if when the kohen was doing the avodah with the carbon, he had in mind that he's going to eat from the carbon after the right time, that carbon becomes pigel, and if you eat it, there's a chiyuv karis. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos has a different pshat, because we know that not only is chutz l'zmanoi an issue, but chutz l'mekomoi, if you had in mind to eat it in the wrong place, it's also a pasul carbon. So therefore, Tosfos says when the Gemara uses the word pigel, it means chutz l'mekomoi. And noiser, which is the next thing we're going to learn, is what is chutz l'zmanon. Pigel, noiser. So according to Tosfos, noiser means that you had a mechsheves chutz l'zmanoi when you brought the carbon. Rashi explains noiser means that you left over from the carbon past the time that you were allowed to eat it. Carbon. Carbon means that both of these are a carbon. It's something that's brought, carbon is brought to the base of Migdash. Trum is not brought to the base of Migdash. Mi'ila, it's subject to Mi'ila. Carbonus are subject to Mi'ila if you had a nor from the carbon b'shayig. There are different rules. By kachim, it's subject to Mi'ila as soon as you magdash it. By kachim kalim, it's only subject to Mi'ila after you have the emrim. But at a certain point, parts of the carbonus are subject to Mi'ila. There's a chiyuv karis for eating kachim that are tamei, eating kachim where you are tamei, and osel oinen. A kar oinen may not eat carbon. As we begin learning this Gemara, so our Gemara is going to speak about the difference between kachim and truma. And by kachim, when you're tamei, there's a chiyuv karis. And by truma, when you eat it, when you're tamei, there's a chiv misa b'dei shemayim. The Gemara is not really very clear which is a more serious punishment. From the Gemara that we're learning now, it seems that karis is a more serious punishment, because most Rishonim say the karis doesn't only affect the person, it affects his children, it affects even before age 60. Misa b'dei shemayim doesn't affect the children, and it doesn't go before the age of 60. Says the Gemara, Adra, so because kachim have all of these chumras, so the Gemara is saying, that's why it makes sense to say that if there's going to be something which may not benefit from when it's tamei, it must be kachim. Ask the Gemara, Adraba, truma lo mimetna. If it makes, I'll tell you, truma should be the thing that you're not allowed to have anor when it's tamei. Shekei machbaz simen misa. There's misa b'dei shemayim for somebody who eats truma when he's tamei. The chaimish, if somebody eats kachim that are truma that's tamei, he has to repay the koyin. Not only does he have to pay the koyin, but he also has to add a chaimish to the. He has to add a chaimish to the amount that the value. Veinloy pigyon. Truma never could be redeemed. Whereas kachim, we've learned more than once, can be redeemed under certain circumstances. Vasur lazarim. There's never a situation where Yisrael could eat truma. But kabbonis, of course, there are situations that a Yisrael could eat. Answers the Gemara, Hanach Nefishim. If you look at the two numbers, then they're more chumris by Kodesh than there are by Truma. And that's why the Gemara reverts back to saying, I go and say that it's kachim, that you can't have anah when it's tamei, not Truma. Of course, I saw that the Ritva asks, what was the Havamina of the Gemara? So he says that the Gemara and the Havamina says, held the pigel, noiser, and carbon aren't to be put into the calculation. Why should they not be put into the calculation? Because we're only going to put into the calculation something which is possible to be by Truma and possible to be by Kodesh, and say it applies here, it doesn't apply there. Pigel, noiser, and tamei are halachas that don't have anything to do with Truma. And that's what the Gemara and the Havamina thought, that we shouldn't put it into the Cheshbon, but the Gemara and the Maskana said, we're looking for the big picture. Vibay Seima, Kodesh Chomer, why are we going to be strict about Kodesh, that if it's Tomei we can't benefit from it, she can't Onish Chorus, because it has an Onish Chorus. And the Gemara is, as I said earlier, the Gemara at this point is assuming that even though we were saying that Chorus has Chumris, and Misa B'day Shemayim has Chumris, but the Gemara is establishing that the Oynish of Chorus is a more serious punishment than Misa B'day Shemayim, and that makes Kodesh more Chomer. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Titein Loi, the Torah says, Titein Loi, Loi, this is a Pasuk by Truma, and the Torah says, Titein Loi, Loi, you should give it to him, v'loy la'oyroi. That's truma tameya. And it can't be given to the kohen to eat, but we could give it to him to put as fuel. Mechlau, the truma basarihi. Because the Torah says, that reisha d'goncha t'rosh v'yitzarecha titein loy. From loy we learn that we have to give kohen truma that he could eat, not something that he could only burn. Now, if truma was something that you can never have anor from, so it's not that the Torah says, titin loy, give it to him that he should be able to eat from it, and don't just give it to him that he should be able to use it for fuel. You can never use it for fuel. The fact that the Torah says it this way is clearly an indication that you can eat, you can burn truma. Of course, you can't give it to the kohen l'chatchila in that way, but if he already got it, and he got tameh, he should burn it and use it for his fuel. Shmuel Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shmuel said, we can't use itroim for the Shabbos candles. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason? Amar Rava, mitoch shurecha ra, it gives off a foul odor. We're concerned that the person won't be able to remain there if the candles are giving such a bad odor. Ask the Gemara, amar Abai, v'yetzei. So why is that such an issue? Let the person who's disturbed by the bad odor leave the room of the Shabbos candles. Amalei, so Rav responded, Sha'ani Oimer had lakas ner b'Shabbos choiva. I hold that lighting a candle on Shabbos is a choiva. Dama Rav Nachman by Rav Zavda, v'amalei Amar Rav Nachman by Rava Amar Rav had lakas ner b'Shabbos choiva. Lighting candles on Shabbos is a choiv, and therefore you can't leave the room where you have the Shabbos candle. He also says, Richitzas Yadayim Reglayim V'chamin, washing your hands and feet, Shabbos Friday afternoon, is Rishus, V'ani Oimer, it's a mitzvah. So Taisa says, that Abaye certainly also agrees that there's a mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Shabbos. There's a very famous Gemara, we're going to learn it, that says, Asholosh Averis, Noshem Meses B'Shas Leidoson. There are three Averis that women die when they have children. And one of them is, if they're not careful on Hadlokas Ner. So you can't suggest that a buyer would think that Hadlokas Ner is not a chiv. But just, it doesn't, a buyer's opinion is that you don't have to have it b'mokum suda. To which Rava came and said that you have to have the Hadlokas Ner b'mokum suda. Because this opens up a very important question. What is the reason why we have to light the candles? Big machlokas rishonim Rashi and Tosfos. Is it because of Oynik Shabbos, or is it because of Kavod Shabbos? If you learn that it's because of Kavod Shabbos, so you don't have to have them lit where you're sitting and eating, You just have to have candles in your home. But if, and that's Rashi's opinion. Taisa's opinion is that it's because of Oynik Shabbos. And that's why the Karban Asanel quotes the Mashal that in the summer you should make long candles because people used to make Shabbos early and you want to be able to have Hanoah, it should be an Oynik Shabbos. But if the entire time that the candles will be lit will still be day, then you didn't have any Oynik Shabbos. Furthermore, says the Karban Asanel, that if you make Shabbos early, so obviously you had to light the candles early, you don't have to eat in the place of the candles. Because as the Gemara says in many places, Shraga Batira Mayhani, what is the point of lighting a candle in a place that it's light anyway? But, says the Karban Asanel, you should have candles on in the house, that, as the Gemara will teach us, today Shlo Yikoshul Beitz of Ever. We don't want anybody to trip in the house if it's dark. Rashi, whoever holds that the reason is because of Kavod Shabbos, will hold that even if you're eating by day and you have plenty of sunlight, Kavod Shabbos dictates that you should have candles on in the room where you are eating. And as I said, the Beis Halevi wants to suggest that the machloikis of Abaye and Rava is this machloikis. Abaye holds it because of Kavod Shabbos, and therefore I don't care if the candles aren't on. The act in the room that you're eating, the lighting of the candles brings Kavod Shabbos. Rav is of the opinion of Oynik Shabbos, and therefore according to Rav, you have to eat in the room where you have candles. So the Gemara said, V'ani Oymer, that washing oneself is a mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my mitzvah, what is meant when it says mitzvah? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Kachoyim and Hogash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi, Erev Shabbos, Mevin Loi Erevim Melei Chamim, on Erev Shabbos they would bring him a tub full with warm water, V'roichetz, part of Yod V'Ragov, and then he would wash his face, his hands, and his feet. The Mishnah Berurah says that the din of washing the feet doesn't apply B'zman Hazeh, because in those days they used to walk barefoot, so you had to get your feet clean. We who don't walk barefoot don't have this halacha. The Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha also has a question if it has to be hot water or is lukewarm water adequate. So he says that if a person's body is hot and he applies water to his body, that will be enough to make it be considered chamin. And then he would put on a talis, and he would sit with tzitzis waiting for Shabbos, and he would look like a malach. So before we go further, so here we're learning that there's a mitzvah to wash on Erev Shabbos. The Mordechai says that in addition to what our Gemara said about washing one's face, hands, and feet on Erev Shabbos, there's also a mitzvah of chafifas haroish, of scrubbing one's head with hot water and soap. The Torah actually writes that there's a mitzvah to bathe the entire body on Erev Shabbos. Only if that is not possible should you at least wash your face, hands, and feet. Darach HaShulchan adds that some people have a minig to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. He says it's a very proper minig, because it helps a person attain the proper level of Kedusha as he enters Shabbos. Ask the Eli Rabba that if it's a mitzvah to wash your entire body on Erev Shabbos, so why did Rava Bar Loi wash only his hands, feet, face, hands, and feet? Answers the Raven that Rava Bar Loi did not have access to a bath, and that's why he had to rely to only wash his face, hands, and feet. Darach HaShulchan says that the Gemara Masechet Nedarim, Daf Mem Tesu Mabeis, teaches us that Rabbi Loi suffered from headaches, and therefore he found that the conditions of the bathhouse were detrimental to his health, so therefore he didn't take a full bath on Erev Shabbos. The Birka Yosef writes that he saw Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa who would take a bath and immerse on the mikveh on Erev Shabbos early in the day, and then right before Shabbos, they would wash their face, hands, and feet again in hot water. And says the Megadim Chadashim, and I saw this from the Klausenberger Rebbe as well, that right before Shabbos, and right before you're putting on your Shabbos clothing, that's the right time to put on, to wash yourself one more time. So apparently what they're saying is, what they used to do is, wash once in the morning, and then another time, wash in the, that was the full bath, and then right before Shabbos, do hands, feet, and face one more time. And that's in fact what the Ramah says. He quotes the Agos Mordechai, the Ramah quotes the Agos Mordechai, that one should wash himself on Erev Shabbos right before the evening, not earlier in the day. Because the Matan Moshe explains that when somebody washes himself, he feels very good. So we want you to have that good feeling right as you enter Shabbos. The Magadim Chadashim also says that we want it to be obvious that you're washing yourself L'Kavod Shabbos. So if you wash yourself right before Shabbos, it's obvious that you're doing it L'Kavod Shabbos. But of course, says the Mishnah Berurah, we have to be very careful not to do this too close to Shabbos, especially on the short winter days, because Chas V'Shalom could come to Chil Shabbos. And therefore, he says that if there's no choice, they should take a, people could take a bath on Thursday, and on Shabbos and Friday just wash themselves like we're explaining here, just in this perfunctory manner. Says the Gemara, Vayitamidim chamim menu kafik susim. The Talmidim would put away the tzitzis into the garment. Amulhem, loikach bonai, so Rabbi Yehuda said to them, bonai loikach shenisilchem, haven't I taught you that sadna b'tzitzis, if you have a linen garment? So now you have a problem with the tzitzis. Because the issue that you have with the tzitzis is, are the tzitzis shatness? So Beis Hillel's opinion is that there is no problem of shatness. Because the Torah says, G'dilim taslecha, the Torah tells us that you should put on tzitzis. And right next to that parasha, the Torah says that you should also not wear shatness. So from there, says Beis Hillel, we learn, because we learn smuchim, and that's why Beis Hillel learns that you're allowed to wear shatness in tzitzis. So therefore, even though the beged was linen, and the tzitzis were wool, the tcheles, by definition, is always wool, we have no problem of shatness. Beis Shammai doesn't learn smuchim, and that's why they have a problem of shatness. Amalhem, so let's review the Gemara. Amalhem, didn't he told them, Bonai, lokach shenisilchem, haven't I taught you that tzadim b'tzitzis, when it comes to wearing linen and tzitzis, b'shamai poitrim, b'shamai says that you're potter from tzitzis under those circumstances, or b'es hillel mechayvin, v'aloch k'divri b'es hillel. So why were you not comfortable in putting tzitzis on your linen beged? Answers the Gemara, v'enu savri gzeri m'shem k'sus layla. The aloch is that k'sus layla is potter from tzitzis. The big machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, what is pshat ksus laila? Rashi says that a ksus that's miyuchad lalaila, that if you have something that's meant to be worn at night, pajamas, if they have four corners, are potter from tzitzis. But if it's a ksus that's miyuchad l'yoyim, they're mechuyev in tzitzis. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is it doesn't depend what the beged is made for. The Rambam says it depends when you're wearing the beged. And if you're wearing the beged by day, you're mechuyev in tzitzis. And if you're wearing the beged by night, you're potter from tzitzis. So therefore, the Talmidim were concerned that maybe it's going to be night, and it's going to be a beged that's potter from tzitzis, whatever pshat we take from the Rishonim. And therefore, even though technically there is no problem of shatness by tzitzis, that problem only is removed in a situation where it's a beged that's mechuyev in tzitzis. But if it's not a beged that is mechuyev in tzitzis, you don't have that heter. There's an interesting question that I saw that the Mordechai discusses. He says, if we're learning that the purpose, the machlokes that we quoted Rashi and Tosfos, what is the point of Neir Shabbos? And the point is Onik Shabbos. So asks the Mordechai, when we put on the candle and we make a bracha, there is no Oynik Shabbos yet. It's the light. It's still not Shabbos yet. So how can we make a bracha? So the stipler says that everybody agrees that that Neiru Shabbos have both elements, Kavod Shabbos and Oynik Shabbos. And when we speak about Kavod Shabbos, a fascinating stipler, the stipler says Kavod Shabbos doesn't begin on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos begins already on Erev Shabbos. So since Kavod Shabbos already begins on Erev Shabbos, says the stipler, so when we light the candles on Friday, we can make a bracha because Kavod Shabbos already begins on Friday. The Gemara used the word when we spoke about Sadam Mitzitzis, the Beishamai Poitrim. Now the question is, why does the Gemara use the word Poitrim? Poitrim means that you don't have to put on tzitzis. The way we're learning now, according to Beis Shammai, who doesn't learn smuchim, there is no heter to have tzitzis that are shatnas. So it shouldn't have said poitrim. It should have said oisrim. So I saw a beautiful teretz. There's a question when we learn hilchas tzitzis. What's the halacha kli kufsa? You have tzitzis that you're not wearing. You have tzitzis in your drawer. Are they mechuyev in tzitzis or not? So, Beis Shammai says that yes, any beggar that has four corners should have tzitzis on them. Now, when you have them in your drawer, there is no concern that you're going to wear shatnas because you're not wearing them. They're in your drawer. So, says Beis Shammai, there you maybe should put the tzitzis on that linen beggar, the wool tchelis on the linen beged, comes the Gemara to say, poitrim, that you potter, and you don't have to do so. The Pasuk says, v'tizlach misholam nafshi, nashisi toiva. Says, v'amai v'tizlach misholam nafshi. What does this mean? Amravua, zu hadlokas ner Shabbos. So if somebody doesn't have candles on Shabbos, that's considered v'tizlach misholam nafshi. Then you don't have any sholem in your life. To the degree that I saw a chiddush from the Shaila of Tshuva's Pulas Tzaddik, that let's say it's Shabbos Sukkos, and the candles in the sukkah went out, and it's Shabbos, you can't put on the candles again. So what should you do? Should you eat in the sukkah where it's dark, or should you eat in the house where it's light, but you're not eating on the sukkah and it's Sukkos? He says that you should eat indoors. The Gemara here is being so sharp about lighting candles on Shabbos. The Gemara is saying, "V'tiznach mishalom nafshi." Somebody who doesn't have candles is missing the essence of Shabbos. Certainly, says the Pulas Tzaddik, that you, if you could go to somebody else's sukkah, you should go. But he says, if it's a toirich gadol, if it's a big inconvenience, then you're not obligated to go to somebody else's home to eat on Sukkos in their sukkah. Eat indoors. Eating in the dark is never acceptable. Continues the Gemara. Nashisi Taiva. The Pasuk says, Nashisi Taiva. Omer Rabbi Yimei Zubeis HaMerchetz. Rabbi Yimei says that this is talking about a bathhouse. Omer Rabbi Yechaz Zuruchitzes Yidayim Reglayim V'chamim. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka Oman, Zu Mita Na V'Kelim Noim Shaleh. It refers to a nice bed and nice pajamas that you have on it. That's called toif. Rav Abba Amar, Zumita Mutzas, to have a made bed, Vishim Kushetas, and a wife who's made up for Talmud Chochem. That's what is Nashisi Toiva. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Osher, who's considered a wealthy man? Koshesh Lo Nachas Ruach Ba'ashrei. Anybody who enjoys what he has, Divrei Rameyam. Simon Mat Kas. Rav Tafraimer, Koshesh Le Mei Kromen. If somebody has 100 vineyards, or Mei Sodais, and 100 fields, or Mei Vodim Shoidim, and 100 servants that work on those fields, that's called, that's a wealthy man. Rav Kivaimer, Koshesh Le Isha Non Bemaisen. He has a wonderful wife. Yosheim Koshesh Le Besakisei Samach Le Shulchanai. So, the Mashal explains. There are people that try to have money because they want to have a reputation that they're wealthy. Some think they need to have money because they have to have money to support their wives. And some collect money that in case something happens, they'll have money for this rainy day. So says the Marshal, the person who's collecting money for COVID, says Reb Tarfin, won't be happy. Because even if you have 100 fields and 100 slaves, you'll never be satisfied. If somebody's trying to have money to take care of his family, that's not the definition of making your wife happy. The definition of a good wife is somebody who's a ishtoi no b'maseho. If you have a wife who is happy and is a tzadekis and is happy with what she has, that's what's called being happy. Because if she's not a balas maisim toivim, then whatever you give her won't make her happy. And somebody's trying to collect money because he needs to have it for a rainy day, says the Gemara, that's not something that we could control. Sometimes just having a bathroom near your table is good enough. I saw what is pshat when the Gemara says Ezo Osher Mishesh Lebesikasi Samchel Shachanai is that if a person while he's eating thinks about what's going to be the end with all the food that I ate, I'm going to end up going to the bathroom. If that's the attitude a person has towards his eating, then he'll eat the right way. Also, we see from here that what is the definition of a good wife? The definition of a good wife is a woman who's satisfied with whatever her husband gives her. It's very much along what we learned, Ezu Osha Sumeich B'chalkai. In fact, I saw the Ksav Seifer explains that you could have a person who's wealthy in this world but will not be wealthy in the next world. As the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph teaches us, they asked Rabbi Akiva when he was sick, when Rabbi Elazar was sick, they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you happy? So he said, Kozman Shnei Roya, Rebbe, as long as I saw my Rebbe, She'en Yayin Mechmetz, Ve'en Pishton Eloikai, as long as I saw that my Rebbe was always successful, I was concerned that maybe he's getting all of his Olam Haba, all of his schar in this world. But now that I see that life isn't perfect from him, that I know he's going to have schar and Olam Haba. And that's what the Gemara is saying here also. Ezu Asher, Koshet, Yesh Lei Nachas Ruch Ba'ashroi, he realizes not that the Asher is not the physical, the financial wealth that you have in this world. He knows that what is really important is Olam Haba. And the person who recognizes that what's really important is Olam Haba, that is the person who's truly Ezu Asher, who's truly a wealthy man.